Well, tonight I'm going to be talking to you about godly wisdom. I titled tonight's message, Godly Wisdom. And we're going to be looking at James, just a few verses, chapter 3, that is, verses 13 through 18. So I'll give you a second to turn there. And now your second is over. So beginning in verse 13, James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Verse 14, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." If you remember the beginning of this chapter, there was a warning to the reader. And he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." So in context, this that we read, these verses 13 through 18, it's possible that there were some who were seeking position within the congregation there. They were seeking for themselves to be in a position of teaching, because it seems as a person who's in a position of teaching the Word of God is a wise person. It seems that that individual perhaps gets a lot of recognition. When that individual speaks, he gives direction and can impact people. And so as a result of the position of being a teacher, which the Bible discourages people with the wrong motivation to seek to be in that kind of position, it's possible that James was writing that, listen, it's not smart for you, it's not wise for you if you do not have the right motivation to try to be or try to jockey or put yourself or promote yourself to get into a position that in reality, in the end, because your motive is not right, you're going to be judged with a much stricter judgment just in general. Just that's a part of being in this kind of position, but because your motive is not right, it's not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. There's going to be consequence. And so it's very possible that in context, that James was warning readers with selfish ambition to not pursue for themselves positions of influence, and more so work on your character, more so work on developing spiritually into a mature man, a mature person, so that way, if God indeed has something for you down the road, because your character is controlled and your character is mature, because you're able to govern yourself, that takes godly wisdom, you'll be able to handle a position of influence. Now, having said these things, I want to focus more on godly wisdom. I want to take the remainder of our time focusing on godly wisdom. And the reason why is because I think that this topic is very important. I think that there are some folks that perhaps really don't know what godly wisdom is. And it's important for us to know what godly wisdom is, so that way we, as folks who are in tune with God, we can, by our conduct, we can support the things that we say with greater effectiveness. But by our conduct and by what we say, we can help other people develop into spiritual, godly spiritual individuals, maturity. Remember, the theme of the book of James is maturing, maturity, is growing in spiritual maturity. See, each one of you are very influential. You have a certain level of influence. But if you don't control yourself, then you can be a bad influence as a believer in Christ. How many of you have seen bad influences? Christians who say one thing with their lips, but their conduct is very different. I think we've all seen them, and perhaps at times we've been them. But we are hoping and praying God change us, and that change doesn't come without effort. Growth takes place by focusing on areas of our lives that need attention, need to develop, and then taking God's word and practicing God's word in those areas consistently, and that's how we mature and develop. It requires focus and attention. So there are a lot of folks that need you to be spiritually mature and fit and to be godly, and that the things that you say, they express godly wisdom, and not only the things that you say, but your life validates that you really believe what you say and that you are truly living what you believe. People need you and people need me to have godly wisdom and to see godly wisdom being manifested in the way we live our lives. As husbands, as you wives, as parents, as young adults, as employees, as employers, as a neighbor, as someone who's just in social environments where they're interacting with all kinds of people, in the house of God and outside of the house of God. So I want to ask you, if you had to answer for yourself the following questions with true or false, how would you answer? I am wise and understanding. True or false? Is it true of you or is it false of you? And this is something that each one of us, of course, would have to be honest with ourselves and evaluate. And then it's important to ask ourselves, because James, one of the keys to this book, it's like what he anchors, he nails in, so to speak, is this idea. Hey, don't just be a hearer of the word. but be a doer. So we have to evaluate and examine ourselves and say, what areas need me to focus on? What areas I need to give attention to? Because I need to be a doer of God's word, and I need to change. And no matter where we are, there's always room for improvement. So I appreciate the honest answer. And the second question is, my behavior shows that I'm wise. True or false? Is that true or false of you? Now see, James, he talks about wisdom. And he says that there are two kinds of wisdom. In the verses that we read, he said that there's divine wisdom and there's demonic wisdom. In verse 15, in connection with demonic wisdom, he says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. And what is he referring to? Verse 14, he says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast against the truth. And so he says, if you're being motivated by jealousy and self-seeking, your interests, your self, or the reason why you're doing what you're doing is because you have self-interest, that is not wise. That's not the kind of wisdom that comes from God. You know that many people do good things with wrong motives. And it is easy to cover up wrong intentions with good works. Is very, very possible for every one of us because we have that nature. We have it in us to be able to do good things with the wrong motivation. And if we're honest, all of us can think of a time when we have practiced that kind of deceit. That is trying to deceive others. For example, I'm not going to talk about myself, but how about the individual who, because he wants something from a woman, he treats her with great respect, very kind, treats her like a queen, but in his heart, he has other intentions. There could be so many different examples. Somebody could, in the church, have an example, have a desire to do something. They want a certain kind of position. And so that's what's on their mind, on their agenda, is this position. But they don't release that with their mouth. But they'll do all the things that they think will put them in a place where they're being watched or observed so that they can have that kind of position. Does that make sense? Now, I know that none of us would do anything like that. But we have it in our nature. And at times we're challenged to do certain things or change certain things about us with the wrong motivation. There's someone that comes in the door and we want to impress that person, so we alter who we really are because we want to impress. Is that the right motivation? Anyway, the whole point of it is we have it in our nature to cover up wrong intentions with good works. And so that kind of thinking and reasoning and scheming and plotting and planning, that is demonic. Now you might say, well, he says it's earthly. earthly, worldly, sensual, human, comes from humanity, the fallen nature. But it's demonic. It's rooted in demonic influence. And you and I, we can be influenced by evil and by the adversary. Even though we know we can't be possessed by demons, there's still the temptation, and Lucifer, Satan, is the tempter. Now the world, and some of these things can be taken just in general, just this, these things are generally true about humanity, but those that are in the world, they are under Satan's control. Now it might be hard for us to see that or believe that about some people, because they might seem very, very nice, but they don't believe in Christ. And listen to what Paul says. This is found in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. The last verse there, I'll read more, but the last verse is where we're getting to. But in verse 24, I'll begin, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the what? The snare of the devil. They're under the devil's, or in the devil's trap, having been taken captive by him to do whose will? The devil's will. So if you are here tonight and you have not made a commitment to Christ, you may not realize that you are in a trap of Satan. And you are under his influence and you are doing his will. And you may not even realize that. Believe you me, before I came to Christ, I didn't think that that was true of me. I knew I wasn't right. But I didn't think I was under the devil's will, so to speak. But then Jesus came in and set me free. Man, what a joy that is. And Jesus can set anybody free from the adversary, because greater is he than the adversary. And for us, as Christians, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we can gain divine wisdom. And the influences of the past, we must retrain ourselves consistently. That's why the Bible encourages us to be regular in the Word. If we're not regular in the Word, then we are open prey to our flesh and influences that are, they have their origin from the father of lies. You follow me? And so, here's how one can tell the difference between divine and demonic wisdom. For it does show itself in our character. And that's something that you and I have to be mindful of, is the way we conduct ourselves. Because our character reveals a lot about who's influencing us, or what we're thinking. Now, characteristics of divine wisdom, there are several of them. James, he mentions them in verse 17 and even in some verse 18. I'm just going to throw them out there. But characteristics of divine wisdom, number one is what? Pure. Purity. Pure. We're not tainted. You're not tainted with impure motives. See, when somebody is operating under the influence of the divine, there's not going to be tainted motives. You're going to deal with those impure motives and desires. So when there's an influence there or a temptation there, you're going to say to yourself, you know what? I don't want to give in to that. I don't want to have this kind of motivation. It's not pleasing to God. So God, I pray you help me and strengthen me. This thought came into my mind. I don't want to be operating in a tainted way, if you will. I want to be operating in purity. I want to think right. I want to do what's right. I want to have the right motive. So Lord, change my heart. I can't tell you how often I pray that way. I'm confronted with so many things on a regular basis, and it's easy to make decisions that are self-centered. And we have to combat those decisions. But the more that I do, the more it just becomes natural to think right, to do what's right. I've learned that over the last 24 years of walking with Jesus, things that used to have a strong grip on my heart or a strong interest that can entice me or that can cause me to camouflage my true motivation, over the years, you know, those things don't have the same effect or the same strength as they used to. That's a good thing, isn't it? You don't want a twisted pastor, do you? And you don't want that to be true of you. I don't want that to be true of me. I don't want that to be true of you. I don't want people that are coming to the church that are twisted and not wanting to grow. Now, people who are twisted, because we're all twisted, we all got that bent toward doing evil, but God has saved us, and for those of us who want to get unbent, if you would, I love that. I don't mind hanging out with people who want to get unbent. I want to be unbent, and I want the people I hang out with to be unbent. And then peaceable. We could spend a lot of time on each one of them, but I'm not going to. So pure, peaceable, godly wisdom displays itself in peace and gentleness. Godly wisdom is easily to be entreated. That is, the individual is easily to be entreated or is approachable. Merciful. Fruitful. That's a good question to ask. You know, I ask myself that question often. How fruitful was this year? And the more that I walk with the Lord, I don't look at the results of my activities. I don't think, well, X amount of people came to Christ this year. Thank you, God. We were able to accomplish this physical thing, practical thing at the church building. That was awesome. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be a part of that. I went to the hospital X amount of times. You know, thank you, God. Here's another mark. Because, you know, it says that you visited me when I was... So I don't look at all the works I'm doing and then try to say, yeah, this was a fruitful year. The more that I walk with the Lord, the more I look at fruitfulness by evaluating what's going on in here. And I say to myself, you know, I don't want to have lust reigning inside of me. I don't want unforgiveness to reign inside of me. I don't want spiritual laziness to reign inside of me. I don't want to be unfruitful for my King. I want to be free from even good things. Even good things that aren't necessary. I've got a quote that I'm going to share with you. I don't remember who said it, but it was said that the wisdom of life consists in the elimination of non-essentials. I wonder how many of our lives would be much more fruitful if we started to trim the non-essentials out of our lives. And when I talk about fruitfulness, I talk about fruitfulness, again, in spiritual maturing, spiritual well-being, health of emotion, health of mind. I wonder how many pressures and how much we would eliminate of those things that cause us to humanly feel depressed, discouraged, dry. Because I will be bold enough to throw out there that there's a high chance that many who profess Christ feel distant from God, are battling with depression and discouragement, and feel spiritually that they're not healthy. They know they're not where they ought to be. And they're always feeling like they're behind spiritually. Just, and it shouldn't be that way. And I wonder if a lot of that and those feelings are because we fill our lives with a bunch of non-essentials. And we even waste our time, God's time, the time that God has given us, with non-essentials. We fill our days with things that when everything is said and done, and we depart from these bodies and we stand before God, it's not going to matter. None of that's going to matter. And we're going to think, I wasted all that time on things that were good, but they were not necessary. That, I don't want that for my life. I don't want that for anybody. Fruitfulness is important. How are you doing with bearing fruit? Considerate, without partiality. Another one, without hypocrisy, genuine. And the last one is right relationships. And really, godly wisdom will help you and me to have right relationships, meaningful relationships. A lot of these things deal with interpersonal skills. See, because you and I, we live on two planes. There's the horizontal, or the vertical rather, and then there's the horizontal. The vertical is relational, and so is the horizontal. And whether you realize it or not, if our horizontal, that's what I said, if our horizontal, I know, if our vertical, thank you, is off, it's going to affect our vertical. I know, I got you. It will have an effect on the horizontal. Now, relationships are key to life. And to have good ones. Have a good relationship with God, to have a good relationship with our fellow men. That is key to life. That is so important. Jesus said, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, you know, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You do these two things, everything else will fall in place. Everything else hangs on these two things. Extremely important, relationships. That's why a pure, peaceable, gentle, merciful, a lot of those things have to deal with others. Because you know that if you're not in a good relationship with one person that is a key person in your life, that can rock your world in such a horrific way. Amen. And lives and relationships can get so damaged so quickly. And we have the potential to be peacemakers. That's why he said in verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And that takes effort. Now, characteristics of demonic wisdom is envy. And how many people, I used to work in the secular workplace. For 10 years, I worked in one company, Valeo. I saw a lot of envy. I saw a lot of strife. People, they thrive on conflict. There are some people that they seem that they cannot enjoy life unless they are in some kind of turmoil that they have caused themselves. And I look at that and I think, that's a sickness. Selfish ambition, dishonesty, and confusion. You know, when people are stirring up problems, there's always confusion. When there are those drama kings and queens, they stir up confusion because they like to fight. And it's motivated by envy and selfish ambition, and they're not honest. They're dishonest, as he says here. He says, hey, do not boast and lie against the truth. You're just a hypocrite, just dishonest when you're trying to cover up your real motivation in context with good works. Then that is just demonic, and it causes confusion. It causes trouble. All right, so he mentions these things, and so I do too, but hey, I hope that this helps you. So one question that's left unanswered is, what is wisdom? And the most simplest word to describe wisdom that I found in the Bible, it was found in the book of Exodus. It's the first place that I found it. And in the original language, which it was written in Hebrew, wisdom is defined in a five-letter word, or at least this word describes it, a skill. Skill. The same word, wisdom, was also used in talking about Solomon when God gave him wisdom, gave him skill. But what is it skill for? The simplest definition I can give you is skill for life, skill for living. And you and I know that a majority of the population lack skill for living. Now, let's not mistake knowledge for wisdom, because those are two different things. Knowing is information. People have tons of information. We are an information society. Look it, I got a smartphone. I got a tablet. And I can access information in seconds about multiple things, and so can many of you. But information and understanding, it doesn't help people to do the right things. Neither does talent. There are people that have great talents, and because they have great talents and abilities, they are able to generate incomes for themselves. They are able to become famous and draw people to themselves because of certain abilities and talents. And yet, when it comes to life skills, they're lacking in life skills. People who have information, people who have ability, people who have talents. How many times do you see people who are very famous, very talented, and their lives are in nothing but a wreck? How many smart business people have you come encounter to that are very, very respected in the workplace, very, very intellectual, have a lot of information, but when it comes to their marriage, they don't know how to have a good marriage? They're on their third marriage. When it comes to having a family and training up kids, their kids are just, they're a mess. When it comes to finances, yes, they make great incomes. They're smart individuals. But they themselves, they don't know how to manage their own finances. They don't have the skills to pay the bills. The money wasn't right. The money wasn't tight. It just wasn't right. So understanding, ability, intellect, wisdom is being able to. Here's a definition. Listen. It's the ability to take right information to make the right decisions, to plan the right course of action under any given circumstances at the right time consistently. Did you get that? I'll repeat it. Wisdom is the ability to take right information in order to make the right decisions, to plan the right course of action under any given situation at the right time consistently. And because of life's complexity, without the Lord, it's impossible to have biblical wisdom. And you and I, we are fools if we do not read the Bible and take what God says and put it into practice consistently. We are fools. We have such a treasure here. And so often, sadly, it is so neglected by people who profess to be followers of Christ and of God. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. The Bible says this about wisdom. I'm going to share several different scriptures. Proverbs 9:10, if you're a note taker, you could jot it down. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that's where wisdom starts. When you and I in our hearts have a reverential awe of who God is, we realize that He is the creator of heaven and earth, that every one of my breaths are dependent upon Him. And without Him, I can't exist. And sometimes we take this life for granted and we think that we are so in control and we make our plans and we just go about our business. And oftentimes, to our own shame, we don't consider Him in our regular routine. He's an afterthought. It shouldn't be that way. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. There's something that is very, very necessary in order for us to receive the wisdom of God. And that is that the wisdom of God will be received by those who walk in a way that's pleasing to God. So some of those attitudes that we carry towards our spouse, and why do I always talk about spouse and family? And because it's what life is about. A big part of what we do is about each other and our homes. If what we learn doesn't translate to our relationships in those primary relationships, why are we here? Jesus talked a lot about relationship and how we're to treat one another. Paul talked a lot about relationship, how we're to treat one another, and how we're to live for God. And so that's why I talk about families, especially marriages, because marriages always being threatened. The adversary wants to destroy marriages and families. And so I want to be one, a voice to share the Word of God. But if the Word of God doesn't translate in how we treat each other as husbands and wives, as parents and our children, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, then what are we doing? What are we doing? Faith, the faith that we have is action. It's transformation. Listen, Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom, according to the scripture, should be the thing since we are saved, since we are already redeemed. That's a given. So I don't want to hear after, no, your relationship with Jesus is the principal thing. I know that. That's a given. But once we become born again, we need to seek wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. It's a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. That's what Solomon said. And then Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days. Help us to evaluate and kind of do an inventory of our time and how we use it. Time is probably one of the most valuable things that you and I have, is time and how we use that time. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And then one of the wonderful results of walking in godly wisdom and using godly wisdom, developing skill for living, how to be a successful husband, how to be a successful wife, how to be successful parents as far as God is concerned, how to manage our finances. That's important. We're stewards. All of those things are important. How to manage our vessels in purity. How to manage the way that we communicate to others. All those things are extremely important, and they need wisdom, God's word, God's influence. And so when we start consistently putting into practice God's word in every area of our lives, the end result is, you know what? Happiness. As the scripture says in Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who finds wisdom. See, you and I don't want to live every day in misery, do we? Do you want majority of your day to be filled with pressure, filled with discouragement, filled with disappointment, filled with regret, filled with failure, filled with feelings like you have no purpose, no real meaning, that life is just mundane? Is that what you want? And yet, many people live that way on a regular basis. Life is empty. They're not satisfied. They feel like they don't have any real purpose. And it's just like, well, life is just living. I'm just here, you know, just wherever, whatever. It's like life is just happening, and I really. Who wants to? I don't want to live that way. I want to be in control over the things that God says I should be managing. Now, there's things that are outside of my control. I have no control over those things. But the things that are within my God-given control, I want to manage those things to the best of my ability, because if I do, I will be happy. Or if you don't like the word happy, then we can take that out of the Bible and replace it with blessed. But anyway, I want to feel inside of my being, I want to feel emotionally healthy, mentally healthy, spiritually healthy. I want to be growing. Jesus grew in four ways. In Luke's gospel, it said that the boy grew in stature. He grew in wisdom. He grew in favor with God and favor with man. He grew physically. He grew spiritually. And this is not in order. He grew socially and emotionally. He grew in all in his relationships with God and with man. He was developing. That's hard for us to comprehend, but the Bible says it. Matter of fact, for those of you who are wondering, and maybe some of you say, I'm not wondering, Pastor. I'm not wondering. It's 8:25, Pastor. I'm not wondering. But you know I don't care about that. You know, when a pastor looks at his clock, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. It's in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, and it's in the last verse, 52, and it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. So he increased intellectually, physically, intellectually, emotionally, physically, and in favor with God spiritually and with men socially. And we should be developing. We should be growing and developing. And when we grow and we develop and we become more hitting the mark as far as the mark that God has established for us to be practicing to hit, the end result of that is a sense of being blessed. You feel blessed. You feel confident. Now, I have so much more to share. If you want a good laugh, I encourage you to read the way that the Message translation, well, the Message, it's not a translation, it's more of a paraphrase. It's a paraphrase. But still, it's great. I'll read a little bit of it to you. But you could read it on your own. It's Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 36, but I'm just going to read a little bit, as I said. Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madam Insight raising her voice? She's taken her stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection. Right in the city square where the traffic is thickest, she shouts, you! I'm talking to you, everyone out here on the streets. Listen, you idiots. Learn good sense, you blockheads. Shape up. That's hilarious. That's good. You know, could you picture me in my office by myself reading this? Oh, it was just great. You could read more on your own. Here's a few closing statements. The only true wisdom is knowing you know nothing. See, people who think they know everything don't need any help. When you realize you really are at a disadvantage by nature and you need help, and then you go to God, who is the greatest helper that there is. We were just reading wisdom. God's wisdom is shouting out, hey, will you listen? Stop and listen. I want to help you. You can gain great help. The art of being wise is the art of knowing. Here's another good one. What to overlook. And then the last one. Another good one. From the errors of others, a wise man corrects his own. And I'll tell you, the Bible reveals a lot of errors of godly men that you and I can glean from. The Bible gives us great instruction on wisdom. The Word of God is perfect in helping us and restoring us and providing for us godly wisdom. And to neglect it, we are fools. And I must add to that, to neglect putting it into practice. Well, I hope that something that was said tonight helped you in some way. And Father, we thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you do impart godly wisdom to those who seek it and value and treasure the importance of learning from you the skills for life. Lord, we want to continue to grow in our ability to take right information, to be able to plan the right course of action, and to take the things that we learn from your word and apply it in any given situation at the right time, consistently. We want to continue like the archer who practices trying to hit the bullseye. We want to be those archers that are constantly practicing righteousness. Although we miss at times, we don't want to quit. We want to keep practicing so that we improve, and that we can start to hit the bullseye more and more for your glory and for your honor. And I thank you for your word that helps and instructs us. And I pray, God, that you continue to pour out blessings upon blessings as we put you first in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.